Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy. Good morning. It is February 28th, 2023. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by 100 Love Spells. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "You cannot live to please everyone else. You have to edify, educate, and fulfill your own dreams and destiny," by Viola Davis. So we are talking today about potatoes. Potatoes, the best things in the world. Also, do you know what I learned recently? And I feel very silly. Very, very silly. So you know of the potato famine? Apparently, I always thought they had no potatoes. It was a famine of potatoes. Not the case. They only had potatoes. They call it the potato famine because there was a famine and all they had was potatoes. I was unaware. Anyways, you might be thinking, well, duh. Or you may be thinking, oh, crap, me too. I thought that was also only about potatoes. Okay, so we are looking at potatoes. And this comes to us from awesomeon20.com. This is all about using potatoes in witchcraft. So potatoes are often vilified by the carb adverse, but they actually have a ton of health benefits. They're high in vitamin C and fiber, and they can even be mashed and mixed with honey for skincare. They have anti-inflammatory properties and can even lower blood pressure. Potatoes are also believed to benefit brain health. Cooking potatoes with the skin on will help to maintain their nutrients during the cooking process. So when they were first brought to Europe in the 1500s, potatoes were believed to be an aphrodisiac. Since then, they've become much more common and now more likely to be thought of as having the energy of stability and grounding. They can also have protective qualities as well. So the grounding earthy qualities makes perfect sense. Since the edible part of the potato grows underground, it's logical that this plant would give us solid, stable, grounding energy. So, potatoes can be carved into puppets to be used in sympathetic magic. You could also use an old summer camp craft, making a potato stamp. So, carve a sigil into your potato and blend a magical ink to stamp into a petition or other spell object. Call on the potato qualities by cutting one into quarters and burying a piece at each of the four corners of your property. And then due to their high water content, they're also believed to have absorbing qualities, soaking up harmful energy. You can carry a potato in your pocket to ward off disease. And when it starts to smell, you can just like throw it away. Ah. So potatoes, we love them. They're in a lot of soups, which is our theme of February. And potatoes are just pretty rad. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from thesun.co.uk. Jail chaplain, prison chief, advertises for a pagan chaplain to perform rituals for Wiccans and Druids. This was written by Adam Bennett, dated February 15th, 2023. So prison bosses are advertising for a 6,200 pound a year pagan chaplain to perform rituals for Wiccans and Druids. So Ashfield in Gloucestershire needs a part-time priest to lead rites of passage and workshops using crystals, pentagrams, and flexible twigs for a wand. The successful candidate will provide advice, pastoral care, and spiritual welfare to the prisoners, staff, and their families. The job ad reads, "The pagan chaplain will provide for the religious care of prisoners and staff in the pagan faith tradition. The post holder must have the confidence and expertise to lead open ritual, officiate in rites of passage, and run workshops for mixed pagan traditions within the prison system. Another job ad shows prison bosses offering £38,000 prorate for a second pagan chaplain to work in a jail in Yorkshire. So the flexible position means the priest can choose at which prison they work, including jails in Leeds, Doncaster, York, or Flockton. Paganism, including Wicca, Druidry, and Odinism, are recognized by the Ministry of Justice with guidance priests, and they can use incense, pentagram necklaces, crystals, chalice, and a flexible twig for a wand. Rituals honor seasons and nature and often include chanting and dancing. So almost 2,000 prisoners in Britain belonged to the religion outside of the six major faiths. Wow. Prisoners have the right to see a chaplain of their faith for 1 hour per week, and there are 74,000 pagans in the UK, 13,000 Wiccans, according to a 2021 census. Interesting. That's really interesting. Oh, while we're here, PSA, if you haven't seen it already, you probably will. And I feel bad even saying this because I feel like you guys know this, but like you never know when so there's a fake Practical Magic 2 poster going around, and literally everyone I know on Facebook is like falling for it like hook, line, sinker. Okay, so it's not real. You know, this happens all the time. Like the fake Hocus Pocus poster that went around for like almost a decade. There's the Death Becomes Her poster that comes up every once in a while. Now we have a fake Practical Magic 2 poster. So if you just aren't very, if you don't see it and you're like, oh, clearly fake, let me tell you, and you're like, well, Tanya, what if it's real? Let me tell you all the reasons it's fake. Number one, Alice Hoffman has written three other Practical Magic books, and this poster says that it's a plot about a road trip. So like, Alice Hoffman has written three other books. Why would they not adapt one of those instead of a ridiculous road trip plot, which cuts out all of the beloved things about the original movie? Two, we know there was a pre-COVID series planned with HBO adapting the second book. If they were going to do this, they were just going to pick, like, they would just pick that back up, not do a whole movie. And also, timing-wise, they would have had to have been working on this movie around the same time that they were working on the HBO series. Like, why would they be doing two at one time? That doesn't make sense. Also, three, whenever have you seen a movie poster about something you absolutely love coming out before you saw any news article or announcement from the cast, producer, crew? We would have said something. Like, it's not real. It's not real. And then also, it came from a RuPaul's Drag Race fan page, because they have the tap to get movie posters before anyone else in the world. Come on. Tangent, they're starting to teach in elementary school, apparently. They're starting to teach in elementary school information literacy, which I think is really great. Teaching children how to look at facts and like, or look at headlines and stuff and know if it's factual. Which I think is really healthy. I learned a little bit of that in school. Basically, if anything ever says like always or everyone or words like that, it's probably not real, you know? So just, it's not real. If you see it, you know, we will delete any of that in the group. We just don't want to spread false information. I know it seems innocent. And then in this instance, something like that is very innocent, but like we've seen how misinformation is just dangerous. And like, if we can just remove it completely, even if it seems innocent, it just seems like a good idea. All right, witches, we are throwing this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, February 28th. The waxing gibbous moon is slipping into the DMs in Gemini today. Here, the moon trines Mercury and Saturn and squares Neptune. The trine to Mercury and Saturn points to some very constructive thinking that's going on, but the square to Neptune says that we may be easily distracted today. Neptune does like to tempt us off course with daydreams, and we may find that we've slipped into reveries without even thinking about it. Your day will go easier if you allow space for both, fantasy and reality. Don't chastise yourself if you find that you've slipped away, and don't work yourself so hard that a little daydream can't find its way into your day. If you create space for both, you'll find that you end up with a very productive day. Your daily moon mantra is, sometimes we need fantasy to survive reality. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Power of love is alive. Diverse in practice and style, 100 Love Spells is a compendium of love magic brought to you from various witches and authors of Witch Way magazine. Packed with practical magic for the novice and expert alike, this book offers a bit of insight for all the world's love witches. With these easy-to-master spellcasting tips and tricks, you'll learn how to attract love with spells for confidence, glamour, and passion, awaken lust and celebrate your sensuality, understand the ethics of love magic and free will, and much more. Whether you're looking for new love, strengthening an existing one, or healing yourself in the process, 100 Love Spells is for those looking to enhance their lives with the potent and powerful magic of love. Available for order online at your local bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, so we have a question from April from our Patreon. April says that she is interested in knowing more about runes of hail and ice, specifically Hagalaz and Issa. All right, let's dig in. Okay, so runes. I tend to see runes kind of fluctuate in popularity from time to time. Right now, I think it's at maybe one of the lower popularities, but it ebbs and flows. But this comes to us from hermitscupboard.com. Norse runes. So it takes more than memorization to understand the Norse runes' meanings. You must study the spiritual and cultural concepts behind each rune. Only then you will be one with the Norse rune alphabet and one of the Germanic cosmology. So runes is like similar to lots. So I put runes in the lot category of divination. So with divination, we have cartomancy, which is cards, lots, which is like tossing things with symbols to gain meaning. I think lithomancy is stones. So I do put runes into the lots category. So the runes emerged from the nine worlds. They brought with them the secrets of each one. Odin did not simply grasp the runes, he became one with them. When you develop an intimate understanding of their mythology and folklore, the runes reveal their tune or their true hidden meanings. It is adequate to just study the meanings of the runes, or it is inadequate, which I think is true for all divination systems. Like, no matter the system, like, they obviously, reading with them proficiently goes beyond just learning the meanings, you know? So Odin and the runes become one as he grasped them. His very being was imprinted with the magic. You have to symbolically let go of the concept of self. Then, like Odin, you can receive the rune knowledge. That is when rune meanings burst forth in life. So runes, very similar to other forms of divination, are very culturally important. So very often, understanding the culture from which they come from give a deep, meaningful understanding to them. Runes are sets of symbols used by the early Germanic and Nordic people. Historians speculate that the rune symbols originated sometime around 300 to 200 BCE. Anthropologists agree that the line combinations of each rune were originally a ideogram or sigil. Originally, they were not an alphabet. So this is like comparing runes to modern street signs. An image of a car with two vertical squiggly lines means slippery when wet. Similarly, Norse runes meanings were represented in the shape of rune symbols. So they were almost like quite literally sigils, yeah. So let's dig in a little bit more. So as a symbolic way of communicating, there was never a single universal rune codex. When the runes began to be used as phonetic Norse rune alphabets, each regional tribe adapted or developed runes to their own dialect. We say the Elder Futhark sequence as the, like, we, you know, the original rune. They persevered this rune order in the 6th century. So there are varieties, like, you know, anything like this old and that goes through this many cultures is going to have varieties, is going to have differences. They are the Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish Scandinavian runes. So we have the two versions of the Elder Futhark runes, the Swedish Norwegian and the Danish Scandinavian. So the Anglo-Saxon runes, named after the first five characters, are the following iteration. So this rune set has 33 runes and incorporates the dialects, a phonetic. There are three different Anglo-Saxon runes, Ruthwell, Vienna, and Thomas. So it's just really interesting. If that's something that like appeals to you at all, it's worth checking out. And again, we did an interview with somebody for Runes for Kiki's book, and they really said that like you have to really study the culture to fully grasp the understanding of the runes. It's not just about memorizing. It's about really understanding the lives at the time, which I think goes for all types of divination systems that are really steeped in cultures, you know. Okay, but April wanted to know about the Hagalaz rune. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing these wrongs. I clearly do not know the language from which this comes from. So if you are starting out with Elder Futhark divination readings, you're probably still getting to grips with the meanings. So if you're drawn to this rune, you're curious about what it means. The Hagalaz rune is associated with temporary chaos and destruction. It is the ninth symbol of the Elder Futhark alphabet. The Hagalaz sign is ruled under Hagals, and this symbol relates to change and sudden transformation. So yeah, I pause because it kind of reminds me of like the tarot in or the tower in tarot. So Hagalaz is the first symbol in Mother Rune of the second eight, and this set is ruled by Heimdall, the Norse god of perception and foresight. So. In a general rune reading, this rune symbolizes uncontrollable destruction and chaos. The translation means hail, and this is symbolic of the damage that a heavy rain of hailstones can do in a short period. In ancient times, this would be wiping out crops or injuring people and animals. Even in modern times with technology, we still experience this. Think of like natural disasters or global pandemics. So as with most runes, Hagalaz can work on a spectrum. This can range from mild disruption to your day or like life-changing events. So yeah, it's really interesting. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the other one that April wants to talk about, and that is Issa. So the Issa rune is associated with stagnation and delays. It is the 11th symbol of the Elder Futhark alphabet. So, yeah. So the Issa rune represents slowing down, focusing inward, and holding it together. Oof, imagine getting both the Hagalaz and the Issa rune. That's like everything's about to fall apart. Hang on. Let's see. This translation means ice. So you have ice of Issa. And hail of the other one that we talked about. That's interesting. It's really cool. For the ancient Norse people, ice was a great obstacle that slowed things down. This cold of ice also threatened their survival if they were ignorant of its presence. So this is what they talk about when they say when learning runes, you have to understand the culture and like the history of the Norse people, because like you may think ice of, oh, slow down, chill, relax. But they're like, no, like this was a big deal. This would have been a huge obstacle. This would have threatened their survival. Like, so this is why anytime I've heard people talk about runes, they talk about having to understand the culture of the Nordic people. So I'm going to be really honest. I wasn't really sure of like what we were going to talk about when we talked about this today. Let's finish this up. Sorry. So the ice of winter still seems calm, yet the emergence of spring is happening below the surface. The stoic vibe is one that Issa brings. Issa is a room that represents delays, frustration, stagnation. Things are not going to go your way. Yet during this time, you can contemplate your next move. Issa is a rune of control and is likely to represent you with the situation you are trapped in. Be aware of beauty and illusion lulling you into dangerous circumstances. It's important to remember that ice is seasonal and will eventually melt away. Despite the cold, keep a warmth burning inside you to help you move forward to a new phase of life. So, like I was saying before, I didn't really know what we were going to be talking about when we talked about runes, because I typically don't like being like, okay, let's talk about the meaning of stuff, you know, like within a set, like a particular tarot card or like stuff like that, or like a particular herb, unless we're in that segment, you know. So I wasn't really like sure really what we were going to be getting into. But I'm not going to lie, even just the brief exploration we just had, which sorry if it was a bit clunky, but this brief exploration we just had, like really kind of made me a little bit more appreciative of runes. Whereas before I was pretty neutral about them, just had no feelings or thoughts. But now I'm like, oh, that's like really cool. So if anything, if this was boring, I'm sorry. But if it inspired you to learn a little bit more about runes, that's really cool. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. We have a shout out for listener Rachel Brady. Rachel, you scrumptious, beautiful gazelle. Elaine, you rule-breaking, scrumptious garden nymph. Sherry Taylor, Sherry, you innocent, playful witch. And finally, Margaret McNellis. Margaret, you Arcadian, tenacious leprechaun. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. We are skipping card pull today, but we're going to go right into some housekeeping. Don't forget, Which Way Magazine does have printed magazines. We have printed issues. We have issues on herbal, divination. We have beautiful Book of Shadows. So these are great for your coffee table, gifts for friends, perfect gift for a witch in your life that's under $20. Check it out, whichwaymag.com, store.whichwaymagazine.com. Just check them out. I think they're pretty cool. Anyways, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources, anything we've referenced can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And I will be hopping on very briefly tomorrow just to give you information about our Witch Academy that we are going to be hosting here in New Orleans in January. So definitely tune in tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour timeout to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them, no one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.